About 10 minutes before church started, Joe asked me to make an announcement, which I did not make. We have 58, I think, signed up for TLC, which I think is a good number. But I've been told that just in case the Spirit of God has not convicted you that you need to sign up, that you could probably still sign up today or maybe even next week. So, but anyway, 58, I think, is wonderful for people to make a commitment to minister out in the community. I would say that today's message, and I'm always fearful to say this, as I'm always fearful to say that any Bible passage is more important than another. But I think in the society that we live in today, this is a very important message. Whenever I have shared the gospel with an individual that may be kind of borderline a church person, obviously not a Christian, and you talk to them about the specifics of the gospel, of how a person gets from planet Earth to heaven one day, and that there's only one way. Here's the question that always comes up when you explain Jesus Christ. What about the person in Africa who has never heard? Well, what about the person anywhere who has never heard? I would say that those that claim to be atheists today, and their number seems to be growing, have suppressed a revelation that has been given not only to them, but to every person in the world that has lived. Now, I don't know how much you know, but I will assume, for all of our sakes, that you possibly have never been told about two different kinds of revelation that God gives. He gives what's known as a natural revelation, or better known as general revelation. That's creation. He also gives what's known as specific revelation. The only specific revelation that we possess today is God's Word. And most of you are holding a Bible in your hand, or you have access to a Bible. That's God's special or specific revelation. When Jesus Christ lived on the face of the earth, He was, at that point in time, a specific revelation. He said He came to reveal the Father. If you have seen Me, or if you have known the Son, you know the Father, for the Father sent Me. While He was here on the face of the earth, He was a very specific or special revelation. Now, here's something to know and to remember about those two different revelations. And a revelation is God just revealing Himself or communicating with mankind. There is enough about God in creation or general revelation to condemn a person to hell. There is not enough revelation in creation or general revelation to redeem or to save a person. We'll learn later in Romans, it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. How shall they hear unless someone is sent? How shall they hear unless someone preaches? In Ephesians, it says that faith, once you have heard the gospel of your salvation and believed, you are saved. So how shall they hear? Well, I personally believe, and I think Scripture supports this systematically. Now, what does that mean? That means when you look at Scripture as a whole, God seems to do this. If you respond to one revelation, general revelation, and you say in your heart, you know, the core of your being, there's a supreme being. This didn't get here by chance. You have responded positively to the revelation or the knowing about God that exists. Once a person does that, I personally believe, and I think Scripture bears this out, that God then gives more revelation to that individual. You may find this true in your study of God's Word. The more that I study, the more that I diligently read the Word and make observations about God's Word, it seems like more of the light bulb comes on. It's called illumination. God illuminates our mind, our being, to the truth of His Word. So what about those people that have never heard? What about us who have heard? What are the consequences of suppressing the truth? I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. Probably not a place that you thought we would go to begin with. This is a beautiful psalm that is written by David. And in the first seven verses, he is going to describe general revelation. He's going to talk about creation. And then, beginning in verse 8, he's going to talk about specific revelation. He's going to talk about the Word of God or the law. Notice in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. Have you ever been out in the country on a starlit night where there's hardly any clouds and you're not in sight of all of the lights of the city, you know, downtown Fuquay, and look up at all of the stars, the heavens. The heavens declare or are telling of the glory of God. Creation says there is a supreme being. Creation says that, and we know that supreme being as the God of the Bible. Notice what it continues to say in verse 1, and the expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Every day, as the sun comes up, as the sun sets, as the moon is visible, it brings forth speech. And the night to night reveals knowledge. Reveals knowledge about what? That God exists. That there is a God. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voices, the voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth, and the utterance of the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of His chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. It rises, its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the other end. Talking about the sun. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. That's an important verse. Because those who will make the argument, how can the person who has never heard be guilty of the gospel? Because they've rejected creation. Then the question is this, well, what about if they can't see creation? What if they're blind? That last verse says, even the rays and the heat of the sun declare to them that there is a God. Now the temperature's changed a little bit today, and you can tell that the wind doesn't have quite the bite that it's had this past week. And there's nothing like when springtime comes and the sun's rays get more intense by the angle and the position that the earth and the sun in relation to one another are. And you walk out and you can feel, you can close your eyes and you can stand and you can feel the heat of the sun upon your flesh. That communicates even to a person who cannot see that there is a supreme being. And then he goes on and he says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And he goes on and he talks about the specific revelation. But right there in Psalm 19, David declares that God has revealed himself in nature. And he has also revealed himself by his word. Why all of that? Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All I could think about this week was, how is the truth suppressed? How do men, and by the way, that word for men is anthropos, how does mankind suppress the truth? They reject the natural revelation, the creation. And he's going to go on and tell you that, and tell us that what they do is, instead of responding positively to creation, they worship created beings instead of the Creator. That's how they suppress the truth. But what about for you and for me? How do we suppress the truth? We have the Bible. We have a special revelation. There's not a person in here that hasn't heard the truth. The reason that I know that is because everybody in here has heard the truth from me. So you're guilty. You're without excuse. But how do we suppress the truth? Here's how Satan works for us suppressing the truth. He puts every single obstacle that appeals to us, that keeps us from consistently. That is a key word. I'm not talking about that you cannot miss church. I'm not talking about that you have to be at every Bible study. I'm talking about that he keeps us from consistently coming and learning his word. Some people, this happened at the other two churches I was at. I have not checked these pews, and that's an honest statement. But some people at other churches, they sat in the same place like you. It's not unique to Rawls Baptist Church. They would leave their Bible in the pew. And I would always think, actually it wasn't the pew, it was chairs. But I would always think, what are they doing during the week? Now, they could have had another Bible at home, obviously. We suppress the truth by we don't study. There is no difference between a person who can't learn and one who will not learn. We suppress the truth by not studying the Word of God. We suppress the truth by thinking that we've got to take advantage of every opportunity that the world has to offer. And we rationalize this. We say, God will understand. Let me correct your thinking. Not only will he not understand, he does not understand. He does not understand how we, as believers, can suppress the truth that he's given to us. I've said it before, but it's worth repeating. The Bible is a specific revelation. It is a love letter from God. Nothing that you need to know about God is not contained in the Bible. Everything you need to know about God, everything that you need to know about living the Christian life, everything you need to know about becoming godly is contained in the Scriptures. But we have suppressed the truth. And God's wrath is against every single person who suppresses the truth. The word for wrath, there's actually two Greek words for wrath. One is thumos, which we get thermos from. Now, that is not the word that's used here. That word is where someone gets angry very, very quickly and they react and they do stuff that they wish they could take back. The Greek word that's used here is more like taking water and putting it on a stove and allowing it to heat. You ever, my mother used this term all, and I timed it one time. It's mom, doesn't matter whether I watch it or I don't. It takes the same amount of time for its water to boil. A watch pot never boils. You ever heard that? But the heat gradually gets to that water, and it gradually warms up, and then it boils. That's the word that's used here. When we suppress the truth, it's unrighteous, but what happens is the wrath of God begins to warm up, and it begins to heat up, and eventually it begins to boil, and one day it will boil over against all unrighteousness. In fact, the word here, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed. Revealed is in the present tense. It's talking about an action that is taking place and continuing to take place because men have suppressed the truth. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. How? For since the creation of the world, His, God's invisible attributes are just His character. His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been not seen, but clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. That is so clear. What God is saying is, He says, listen, because you have rejected what I have revealed to you, you have suppressed it, the wrath of me against all unrighteousness is starting to boil, starting to heat up. Then he goes on and says, so that they are without excuse. Every single person is guilty and without excuse. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Very few people know 17. For I did not come into the world to condemn the world, because the world's condemned already. That's one of the dangers about memorizing verses. You don't know what comes before or what comes after. And then he goes on in verse 21. For even though they knew God, they knew about God through the general revelation, they did not honor Him, they did not respond, they did not give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, when God reveals something to you and you do not respond positively to it, guess what? He discontinues the revelation. He withholds it. Then he goes on and he says this, they were futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That is rationalization. That's what you see in secular society. That's what you see on college campuses today. Man went from, and basically the father of this was Immanuel Kant. They went from understanding the truth of the Scriptures to reasoning. But the reasoning was flawed. They became foolish, but they thought they were wise. And here's a key verse in closing this section. And exchanged. They took what was known about God in the revelation and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They made idols. And they worshiped the idols. They worshiped creation and things that they created versus the Creator. You should underline the word exchange. It's going to occur again several times. You should also underline in verse 24, gave them over. Therefore, verse 24 begins with, since they did this, since they suppressed the truth, since they rejected the truth, since they exchanged it for idols, therefore. Now, before we move forward, what are the idols in your life? That's kind of where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? What keeps you away from worshiping God? What keeps you away from studying God's Word? What keeps you from consistently and regularly attending worship or a Bible study? What have you exchanged for something else? See, it's important that we meet together. It's important that we study. Hebrews chapter 10, it's another verse that we often memorize. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. See, more people are consistent about missing church than they are about attending church. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the habit of some. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? The day of the return of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Put on your thinking cap. What will the day of the Lord bring? It will bring the boiling over of God's wrath. Well, how do you get that? Well, let's just keep reading. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, we've received it, but we suppress it. We don't obey it. We forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire which will consume the adversaries. What is that? That's judgment. What is that? That's the wrath of God. Anyone who sets aside the law of Moses, what is that? That's specific revelation. Dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe do you think the punishment do you think will be deserved who have trampled under the foot the Son of God, who has regarded and unclean the blood of the covenant by which has been sanctified by the insult of the Spirit of grace? For we know that the Lord says, vengeance is mine. So when we suppress the truth, there is a wrath of God that is going to come against all of mankind because we exchanged it for idols. Anything that comes between you and the Lord is an idol. If you don't know what your idols are, I tell you how you can find out. You have two books that will reveal to you what your idols are. Your checkbook and your calendar. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't have any idols. What keeps you from consistently suppressing the truth? Check your checkbook, where you spend your money. Check your calendar, where you spend your time. Those two things will help reveal to you what your idols are. Guess what? They'll help reveal to me also. Therefore, because they made this exchange, God gave them over. Notice what He gave them over to. He gave them over into the lust of their hearts to impurity. The way they think. Their heart. The core of who they are. When you exchange the truth of God, when you reject His general revelation and or His specific revelation, He hands you over. This word, or the phrase, gave them over, is going to occur in verse 24, 26, and 28. It's going to be preceded by exchanged. Here's what's really frightening, is what that word means, or that phrase means, gave them over. God abandoned them. One of the things that most men or people that are in ministry, one of the things that they desire is for God's hand to be on them and to use them. This phrase means that what God does to those who suppress the truth, what God does is He takes His hands off. He abandons them. He takes His hands off of the individual. But more importantly, a close word study is as He is taking His hands off, guess what He does? He pushes. I've got my hands on you. I'm giving you over. It's the idea of pushing a child down a slide. You've got your hands on them, and they're ready to go down that slide. The kids do slides anymore. You give them a push, and then you take your hands off. That's the beginning of the raft of God. And it is a gradual process as He heats up with His anger against those who suppress the truth. Notice that he gave them over, in verse 24, to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. That's an interesting concept. Once we reject or suppress the truth, God gives us over to a futile mind. We think we're wise, but we become foolish. God removes His hand of grace from that individual, and He begins a process of discipline. The problem is that most people, when they sense the process of discipline, they run away from God instead of to Him. You want to know why the world is so messed up? They have suppressed the truth. You want to know why the United States is so messed up? We have suppressed the truth. No longer do they pray in school. No longer, or at least it is a fight to say the Pledge of Allegiance and one nation under God. The only thing that is keeping this nation from literally all hell breaking loose is that we're still a friend of Israel. Well, but that's in question. This nation has suppressed the truth. Churches are beginning to suppress the truth. More churches now do not believe that the Word of God is infallible, is an inerrant Word of God. Some parts of it are true, some parts of it are not true. Some parts are made up, some parts are stories. That's what they believe. And it's just a spiral effect downward. And when society or churches or individuals suppress the truth, God abandons. He takes His hands off. That's a terrible place to be. It's a serious place to be. Now, part of me felt like in this message, I needed to convince you that that's true. So I will. Read the newspaper. That'll convince you of where society is. Look at your own life, mine included. Now, I have seen an enormous amount of growth here at Ross Baptist Church. You know who I have seen the most growth in? Those of you who consistently study and who consistently take advantage of every opportunity that God has brought your way to be taught correctly the Word of God. Those of you who consistently come on Sunday morning have grown enormously. Those of you who consistently come on Wednesday night have grown enormously. It's a process. It doesn't happen by every now and then coming. It doesn't happen by saying, you know, I can get a little bit here and a little bit there. That's suppressing the truth. When we suppress the truth, God begins to take His hand off of us. That's one of the consequences. That's not the only consequence, but that's a consequence. Now, we all know people like this. They get bad news. They show up to church. Their prayer life goes up. Their church attendance goes up. They cry out to God. The bad news eventually passes. They get through it. Shortly after that, they vacate coming to church. You know anybody like that? I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've been doing this for a long time. What is so hard to try to convince them of? The bad news that you're getting may be God's grace in trying to get your attention, get you back to Him. Then what happens is you get back with Him, your life kind of gets straightened out, and as soon as it gets straightened out and you think you're back on your own two feet, gone again. That's suppressing the truth. That's using God as a rabbit's foot. How do we suppress the truth? Some people still carry rabbit's foot on their keychain. I remember when I was playing baseball, if I had a really good game, the next game, I would try to remember exactly what I ate, exactly what time I showed up to the locker room, which sock I put on first, how I got dressed. I was superstitious. And I thought that going 3 for 4 was because of the things I did. Could have been a bad pitcher. You suppress the truth by being superstitious. You suppress the truth by reading the horoscopes. You suppress the truth by dabbling in whatever. Psychic hotlines or it's like, you know, I knew a Christian one time that confessed to me, man, I really believe the Bible. I really believe this stuff. But I still read the horoscope just in case. That's suppressing the truth. See, those things, and we giggle and we laugh, and rightly so. But you know what? That's how subtle Satan is. That's how subtle he is. Then they dishonor him with their body. I thought about that. When God removes His hand and we're left to our thinking and we don't think correctly, then what happens is we dishonor Him with our body. Now, He's going to list how we do that. But I thought about that. I ponder on it. Why do we dishonor him with our body? Because how we live our life reflects our obedience or our disobedience to him. And our obedience to him demonstrates our love for him, and our disobedience demonstrates we really don't love him. The greatest demonstration of love is obedience. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I command you?" That's pretty clear what he means by that. So with our bodies, what we do with our bodies demonstrates, this is our being, demonstrates whether we are following him or not following him. Verse 25, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie." When did that begin? Genesis 3. "And they worshiped and they served the creature rather than the Creator." Who is blessed forever? Amen. You know, one of the greatest temptations in our life, well, at least in my life, and it sounds like it's wrong when you first hear it, but I don't think it is. I think I can love my son too much. And that doesn't sound right at first, does it? Because some of you are like, you had that like, how can you love your children too much when they become more important than God? That's how. And you can put anything in there you want. You can love something and put in the blank too much. What does it mean to love something too much? They come before God. And if here you are, and here's God in your relationship, anything that comes right here between you and God is an idol. Anything. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's surfing the internet. I don't care if it's your schoolwork. You put anything in there that is more important to you than God, that's your idol. But God has given us all things to enjoy, but in moderation. He just wants to come first. And he deserves to come first. But they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And what we are as human beings is we're great at rationalizing something. "And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over." For this reason, God took his hand off of them. And here's, I don't know that it happens this way, but this is progressing. He gave them over to the lust, and they used their body. But what I believe happens is as God removes his hand and gives us over, he's still wanting to do what? Take hold of us. And as he moves to us and we move away from him, we spiral further and further away. Then notice what takes place. And I'm not going to preach this morning on homosexuality, but here it is. Now let me just make this statement. Do I believe homosexuality is a sin? Yes. Do I believe people are born as a homosexual? I don't know. I believe, and it seems like some people are born with homosexual tendencies. But let me say this. If a person has homosexual tendencies, That's not a sin. Some people are born with a tendency to murder. Some people are born with a tendency to molest children. Some people may be born with a tendency to have improper sexual relationships, which would be any kind of relationship outside of the confines of marriage. The question to the homosexual community is the same question to those of us who have any kind of tendency, and we all do, towards sin. Because the excuse is, well, I was born a homosexual. Well, okay, let's say you were. That doesn't mean that you still act it out, therefore committing the sin. Just as if I have the tendency to whatever sin it is, that's not a sin, but for me to act it out is. So that's what we've missed, and we've hated the sinner versus the sin in all categories. And we've done a poor job as a church embracing those who struggle with this. We all struggle with sin. I really prayed about whether I should share this or not, but I have a cousin. She's a female. And, you know, when your family members, and I don't post stuff on Facebook, I just, you know, I look at it. And you know what I do when I look at it? It helps me understand where society is. Okay? But she posts, you know, when your family members ask you to be friends on Facebook, you can't say no. Well, I guess you can, but you can? Thank you. I feel free. I'll defriend them today. But she's the type of that posts all the liberal stuff and the positions. She posted one about the lesbian and gay rights and stuff like that. And the Greek word for it just kind of boiled up in me and came out. And I just typed in Romans 1, 18 through 32. That was my response. And I don't usually respond. To which the question came back, when did you choose to be attracted to females? And I said, I didn't. It was just a natural response. To which she responded, well, that's what those of us who are born gay do. My response was Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32. Her response was, what do you mean? My response was, aren't you loving this? I should have it up on the screen. Natural versus unnatural. Because her argument was it was natural. And I said, God says it's an unnatural act. To which she responded, I guess that's where we disagree. To which I said, God gave them over. Notice what takes place. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this logically. What caused that? They suppressed the truth. They suppressed the truth. God revealed to them. They suppressed it. He took his hands off of them and gave them over to their mind. Well, we know what kind of mind we have. We're going to learn that in the next verse. And as they went through that process, they exchanged the truth for a lie. God gave them over further. Then they exchanged a natural function for an unnatural function. Then verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, they had spiraled all the way down to the bottom. God gave them over to a depraved mind. See, once you leave the truth, and once you act with your depraved mind, it's all over. It's all over. Remember the hinge verse? 12, 1 and 2. How do we get out of this? No longer be conformed to the ways of the world. That's what he's describing here. This is the ways of the world. This is what happens when we are left to ourselves and God's hand is off, because what He has revealed and what He has given to us, we have rejected. We have suppressed it. Then He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why does your mind need to be transformed? Because our minds are depraved. If we are left to ourselves without the revelation of God, without His Word, every single one of us will act awful. That's why I harp on consistently attending and studying the Word of God. Why? It's the only way your mind can be renewed. And let me tell you, myself included, if I shut this book today and I walk out of that door today and I get in my car and I don't come back here and I don't have fellowship with those that believe the truth and I don't study the Word of God and I don't pray and I don't have fellowship with the Lord, and I start hanging around the wrong people, and I start going after the wrong things, before long, my life, and if you do the same thing, your life will look just like a non-believer living in the world. That's called a carnal Christian. And let me tell you how fast it'll happen. About like that. Let me tell you how I know. One of the hardest things for me to do in driving is for somebody to pull out in front of me and let off the accelerator. They say confession is good for the soul. I think, why? And then if they put a blinker on 100 feet and turn, that's when I want to make one of those NASCAR moves, you know, and kind of shove them out of the way, you know? I am human, in case some of you don't know that. But listen, you know how quick that happens when somebody pulls out? Just like that. Just like that. How easy is it to just let off the gas and think, that person must have to be somewhere more urgently than I do? Or think this way. Maybe God had that person pull out to slow me down because up ahead He's protecting me. That's how my mind needs to be renewed. For the sake of the time, I'm going to stop right there. Because I almost put, when I sent this information, I almost put part one. Because I think it's so important for us to understand. Now, some of you may be here this morning and you may think that I have stepped on your toes and beat you up and that I have singled you out. Let me just tell you this. You don't know me well enough if that's what you think. I want all of us to have all of the blessings of God in our lives. And if you feel built, beat up, or you feel convicted, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. All we do is communicate the truth as it comes across the pages of Scripture. That's why I love preaching through a book. You can't accuse me of picking topics that I want to throw at you. I've got them. And you know what? You probably got yours against me too. But listen, let's do not suppress the truth. Every time that you get up in the morning and you feel the sunshine or you see God's creation, worship the Creator. Don't suppress the truth of this love letter that He has written. Study it for all you're worth. Pour over it. Meditate on it. And don't allow anything to consistently keep you from attending church. Our Father, we're grateful for who You are and for, man, just how You communicate so clearly to us. Boy, we're a stubborn bunch. And I'm the leader of the pack. Help us to reflect on how much You love us and that You want to keep Your hand upon us, that You want to guide us. Father, instead of pushing us away, help us to be drawn closer to You. I pray, Father, that You would help us to make wise choices. The only way that we're going to grow and become godly is for us to have a consistent, steady diet of the milk and the meat of the Word, the truth that renews our mind so that we might serve and love You faithfully. I pray, Father, that You will begin revival in each and every one of us that sets this community on fire with the truth of You as our Father, as Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. And we ask all these things, Father, in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.